everywhere. Hands in the air, so party over here. Checking for the man of the year. Yes!
Oh, it is. It is! The Alex Dono Show. I'm going to talk really fast tonight because I have a half-hour show. And then Canes pregame, which I'll also be a part of with Joe Zagacki, 6:30. Canes tip-off against Lehigh at 7. And then whenever the game ends, which will probably be sometime between 9 o'clock and 9:20, I'll have another show and be on with you till 10 o'clock tonight. So in the meantime, no time to waste, my friends. We bring in Ira Winderman, who's powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Ira, are you prepared to talk fast enough to get me through this fast show tonight?
Well, if you've heard me before on this station for the last 20 years, I think talking fast will not be a problem.
Fair enough. And so, Ira, did you get some sleep last night, or were you up late picking up your vice gear?
I have my people, so I didn't have to worry about that much because I had my people for that. But I'm just telling you, the color scheme tonight at American Airlines Arena, it's like 50% basketball and like 50% event. The one thing about this team, they know how to do stuff like this big, and that's where they're going tonight. They're going big.
Yeah, and like Ira, I heard Hockman had this stat. Darren Revell brought this on social media that last year the Heat Vice jerseys outsold all of the NBA's other city edition jerseys combined. And so listen, like I've been watching this team for so many years, and I remember some of the great playoff marketing campaigns, specifically White Hot, which is really what the one that caught on. I see how good this team is with fan relations. The Heat are really on another level in that aspect.
Yeah, I mean, right now, if you thought last year's white, you know, Vice jersey sold, the Vice Knights they did it in the right order. Michael McCullough, who's a chief marketing officer, told me this was a 2-year plan. And when they came out with last year's jerseys, they already planned this year. And Alex, to be honest with you, if they went in the other direction, I think they would have lost impact. Because last year's were interesting because they were different, but they were still not dramatic with the white uniform. So I think the order they did them in, the fact that they waited, not by choice, just because they decided too late last year, to do the court in the same motif. You've seen other teams around the league do that. That's sort of what makes it special. And the Heat introductions, they do several throughout the year, are always sort of epic in their own way. So, yeah, you know, they're taking it, you know, to the level, and then they're doubling down on it.
Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is with us. So, Ira, against the San Antonio Spurs, Hassan Whiteside was incredible. 29 points, 20 rebounds, 9 blocks. He almost got that triple-double with blocks. Is Hassan Whiteside turning a corner, or is he just going to have some games like that, especially against a team like San Antonio that's more of a half-court team?
Yeah, it's like what I've been saying, different horses for different courses. So there's a guy who, when you play at a team that plays a half-court pace and lets you play the half-court game, he is perfectly suited for that. So I think with Hassan, it's going to be more of the opponent than maybe what he's capable of doing. And when they play the teams that are off to the races, when they play the Sacramentos and the Atlantas, then you wind up in a different situation where he really can't get established in the post. What I will say is this, though. If he comes out with the motor that he had against San Antonio, that works against anyone. Now, it's hard to do that 82 times a year. But if he can give them 60 high motor games this season, that's all you can ask for. So it's 50-50. His motor plays into it, but it really is the matchup also.
Ira, tonight, no Dragic, no Wade. And, of course, we all know why. He and Gabrielle just welcomed a daughter. We congratulate them so much. No Derrick Jones Jr. So for Dragic especially, Ira, what's the timetable?
I think he could be back as soon as tomorrow. It's really weird. It's not necessarily an injury. His knee swelled up on him, and they're just monitoring that. And it's not the pain. It's more that just straightening out his leg has been an issue for him. They want to make sure he's right. So I know everyone out there with the Dolphins injury reports and everything else hates the expression of day-to-day, but that's really what he is. It really is. It's day-to-day, Dono, to the point that they play again tomorrow here at American Airlines Arena against the Wizards, and he could play in that game. It really is going to be the kind of thing where you're going to have to check your NBA injury report.
So, Ira, Pat Riley spoke yesterday at a community event, and I want your thoughts on this. Did Pat Riley sound like someone who still is in the trade market for Jimmy Butler? Do you think maybe he had his poker face on? It sounds to me like maybe that ship has sailed.
No, to me it doesn't matter what Pat Riley sounds like. That has nothing to do with it. Those are sound bites. That's appeasing his players and everyone. Of course they're in the trade market. The Heat are in the trade market 24/7, 365. because that's what you have to be in this league. This is a league of trades. And so if Pat can get a deal that can make his team better, including possibly Jimmy Butler, he's going to do that. So it comes down to the simple question of, we know everything else at play. Are the Heat still willing to trade Josh Richardson for Jimmy Butler? That's what it comes down to. And I'm sure, just like your listeners, Alex, and maybe just like me and you, it's sort of like a barometer. It goes up and down. Some days it's like the stock market. Yeah, it's a good deal. Other days, like the stock market, it's not a good deal. But Pat Riley's not out of the trade market, because I got to tell you, if Pat Riley is out of the trade market, then he's not doing his job.
So, Ira, Vice night tonight, Heat welcoming in the Indiana Pacers. Give me your preview. And, of course, different opponents, but you know the Heat, specifically Whiteside, looks spectacular against the San Antonio Spurs. What's your barometer on tonight?
Barometer's good for the Heat for this reason. The Heat have looked good this week against Detroit and San Antonio in slow-paced games. Indiana is playing at the slowest pace in the NBA. So this is another Hassan Whiteside opportunity. The Heat have to seize these. Again, like I'm telling people, it's almost more about the quality of pace of the opponents than the quality of players for the Heat. This is a matchup that plays favorably for them. If it's going to be how slow can you go, I think Eric Spoelstra can get an advantage. So I think this is a night that the Heat have to take advantage of.
How about our Florida Panthers, Ira? What a victory yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? And that first save was, like, I think in the first 2 minutes when even, you know, the Oiler player thought he scored, and then Luongo sort of showed him a glove and said, no, the puck's right here, buddy. It's just, you know, like we talk about certain players coming back and expiring, maybe even like Dwayne Wade did last year. I think that's what Bobby Lue does for the Panthers. I think the fact that he's backstopping them, you know, say what you want about Ryan or anyone else who's been in there, I think that makes a big difference. You can see a different team. Now the question, Donald, like it's been the last few years, can he stay healthy?
Right.
Because you could see a difference. The last game in Finland, his first game, you know, back to the injury, and then again last night. It's a busy schedule. I am curious to see how much they play him in this. I think it's 3 games in 4 nights, but I think that's going to be sort of the factor. How durable will he be?
He's Ira Winderman, covers the Miami Heat, of course, for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Does a fantastic job doing that. And Ira Winderman is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Ira, enjoy Vice night tonight. We'll talk to you again next week.
Vice, baby. Thanks.
I love that. So always nice to get the live in-arena hits from Ira. And, you know, in about 20 minutes, we'll have live in-arena Joe Zagacki, who's at the Watsco Center, getting set to call the action. Miami Hurricanes taking on Lehigh tonight. Season opener for your Canes hoops team. But, guys, I want to talk about our friend Osmani Garcia, who's doing big things. Guys, if you're thinking about selling your house and you're willing to make a move before the end of the year, you need to call Osmani Garcia with Keller Williams Realty. Here's why you need to call Osmani. His team has a database of buyers in waiting right now. He has over 473 buyers looking to buy a home right now in the South Florida area. Osmani actually guarantees in writing that if he does not sell your home, he pulls out his checkbook and will buy your home himself. So think about that. He has buyers ready to buy, and if he doesn't sell your home, he'll buy it himself. So here's what you do. You call Osmani at 1-888-411-HOME. That's 1-888-411-HOME. Osmani Garcia of the Omega Home Selling Team will sell homes for more money. He sells homes for at least 3% more money than the average agent. He is not the average agent, I'll tell you that. That's $12,000 more on a $400,000 house, and he sells homes faster. The typical agent takes 120 to 180 days to sell a home, and Osmani and his team sell homes in 59 days or less. That's why they are the home of the 59-day sale guarantee. And when you sell with Osmani, your home is more likely to sell. Call my guy Osmani, and he will sit with you, establish a price and deadline. And if that deadline passes and your home is not sold, Osmani will buy it himself for cash. So there is no risk to working with Osmani. He offers a one-day listing agreement, and if after 1 day Osmani does not do his job, you are free to get out of that contract. But don't worry, you're not going to have to. The National Association of Realtors reports that the average agent spends less than $250 a month on marketing. That's less than most car payments. That's less than a dinner for five people. Osmani, meanwhile, spends thousands of marketing dollars every month to create a demand and sell homes fast and for top dollars. So call Osmani. Call the only guy I would call to sell my home at 1-888-411-HOME, the home of the 59-day sale guarantee. Some restrictions apply. The Alex Donner Show continues next year on QAM.
WQAM's Odd Couple is Hochman and Crowder.
I know you hate the way I say churromania and the way that I overpronounce Spanish words. So two guys come over today. We hired a company to pressure wash the roof. I think the guy's name, he introduced me to his associate, Rodrigo.
Oh, and Rodrigo.
That's exactly what I did. Oh, nice to meet you, Rodrigo.
That's so bad.
And so the moment you do, like, nice to meet you, Rodrigo. I'm sorry. That was all I had was nice to meet you, Rodrigo.
Hochman and Crowder. Download the podcast on WQAM.com and listen live afternoons from 2 to 6.
On 560 WQAM.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Moore's has more.
Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com.
Come see the one and only Geico Gecko November 16th through the 18th at the Ford EcoBoost 400. Geico. Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Don't wait until Black Friday. Now at Miami Lakes Auto Mall, the Black Friday sales event is going on all month long. Brand new 2018 Jeep Compass, just $169 per month, zero down. Or save up to $15,000 off MSRP on select vehicles. MiamiLakesAutoMall.com.
Geico presents two truths and a lie. One, artificially intelligent robots have already taken over our planet. We just haven't noticed yet. Two, Geico has been helping people save money for over 75 years. Three, it's easy to switch at Geico.com. You could save hundreds. The one about robots isn't true. That'd be crazy. Right?
You've waited all year, and now it's here. The Black Friday clearance event. Only at Bremen Honda. 1,000 Hondas on five floors. Save thousands on new Civics, Accords, CRVs, Pilots, HRVs, Odysseys, and more. All from $16,659 or $149 a month. Bremen has the power of zero. Zero down, 0% APR, and zero payments till February 2019. Plus, the Bremen Advantage. Over $2,000 in savings and benefits. No credit, no...
I wanna be keeping you. So some of you might remember back in August. I don't remember the exact date. But at some point back in August, I did a show with Manny Chang producing. He had announced to me prior to the show, very somber. I think there may have even been a tear rolling down his eye, and there may have been a tear rolling down my eye as well. He announced to me, Dono, this is going to be the last show that I work with you. You know, he made it sound like he was retiring from radio. Like that was it. So I got a little emotional when I opened that show. I did. I got a little emotional since Manny Chang is someone that I had worked with for a little over 6 years at that time. He's a personal friend. I consider him a close friend. Yeah, I didn't know him at the time when I got married, but if I were to like renew my vows or something, I think he'd probably be a groomsman. We're pretty close. And so I start off my show back in August about how, you know, this is the last time Manny Chang is ever going to do a show with me. I thought he was leaving the station, retiring from radio. And like he tells me on the air, well, actually, I'm going to be working with you every weekend because I'm still running the board for like Canes games and Dolphins games. And then in a few months, I'm going to start doing shows again. So it was all for nothing. I started my show with this heartfelt tribute to Manny Chang, who I thought I may never see again, let alone work with again. You know who's producing tonight? You know who's on the other side of the glass tonight? The guy that at that night in August, I thought I may never work with this man again. Instead, I think I see him more the last 3 months than I did before that. Manny Chang is back producing tonight. And also, Chang, like you revealed to me right before the show, because you know, you've been working a lot of like play-by-play, a lot of Canes football, Dolphins football broadcast, but he told me before the show, he's like, yeah, I don't remember how to run a talk show. Like he has no clue what he's doing back there. But here he is. So God willing, we can get through another 11 minutes before this Hurricanes basketball broadcast coming up. Manny Chang is back. And Manny Chang has not provided any luck for Hurricanes football this year working these broadcasts. Three straight losses for my Canes. On the road at Georgia Tech tomorrow. You know, Georgia Tech, a slight favorite in that game. You know, it's a combination of they've had success lately, Miami is on a bad run of form, and it's a home game for Georgia Tech. I can understand why the odds makers went the way that they went. I'm feeling pretty good about the game, though, from a Canes perspective. Full transparency, I'm feeling pretty good about the game tomorrow, and a lot of it has to do with the success the Canes have had defensively against Georgia Tech's triple option and the success Mark Richt has had against Georgia Tech, especially at Georgia Tech during his career. So I know that history may not align itself with Miami's recent poor run. But for what it's worth, Mark Richt, who of course faced Georgia Tech many times while he was coaching Georgia, has faced Georgia Tech the last couple of years coaching Miami, faced them on the road 2 years ago and won. Mark Richt is 9-0 at Bobby Dodd Stadium. And Manny Diaz, Miami's defensive coordinator, and I don't doubt the defense is going to play pretty well tomorrow. Like, Georgia Tech is still going to put up big rushing yards no matter what because it's what they do. But if Miami can limit them, and if Miami can force a couple of fumbles and get a couple of timely turnovers, then the pressure is on the offense and the pressure is on Miami's special teams. But I have little doubt that Miami's defense is going to play solid, disruptive, but assignment football against Georgia Tech's triple option. Manny Diaz really seems to relish that opportunity. And, you know, some of his comments this week I thought were pretty cool that, you know, Georgia Tech, you know, and you don't have a bye week before this game as you do every now and then. So it's just a week of thing. But throughout the season, anytime he's got a spare few minutes, he'll talk to his players. He'll show them things. He'll drill things with them on Georgia Tech that a lot of focus, even when it's not Georgia Tech week, whenever he can sneak in an extra minute of Georgia Tech study, he's going to do that with his players to make sure that they're ready for tomorrow night. Because Georgia Tech's offense, if you've ever watched them, it's like stepping in a time machine back to the 1920s. It's not like the offenses Miami faces in any other game that they play. So I think the defense will be up to the challenge. Yeah, you know, a couple of things that I'm worried about, and this is certainly nothing new. Special teams-wise, I hope Miami can flip the field and create some field position. And then offensively, okay, Nikosi Perry is getting the nod tomorrow. Mark Richt had said on Monday it was going to be a competition and practice between the two. Nikosi Perry, I'm led to believe, had won that competition and practice, so it goes back to Perry. And Richt also said, I think it was in his Tuesday news conference, that he's not planning to do a rotation to pluck one guy out, put the other guy in. So I think we can't expect that Nikosi Perry being the guy, being the starter, he's going to play the duration tomorrow. Or, if I can be so greedy, hopefully, you know, if Miami can be comfortably ahead late in the game, maybe at that point you give Jaren Williams or Cade Weldon some playing time or Malik Rozier. But yeah, I'm expecting Nikosi Perry to get the opportunity through thick and thin to get through that game tomorrow. But friends, basketball season starting tonight. Hurricanes are at home at the Watsco Center. Joe Zagacki is at that Watsco Center, ready to call the action. Yeah, it feels, Joe, like it's been a really long offseason for Canes basketball. I'm really excited to see Jim Larrañaga, his team. You know, DeJuan Hernandez now. DeJuan Hewell is no more. I feel like it's a new team this year, Joe. How are things down at the Watsco Center?
Well, things are good. We're going to have a little breaking news here in a couple of minutes.
Ooh, I love that.
So things will be okay, we hope, but it'll be a little bit different here tonight. And we'll let you know all about that in about 8 minutes or so. But it's, it's interesting, Alex. It is never easy with University of Miami at times. There's always something going on, so we'll let you know what that is momentarily. But in terms of the overall picture for University of Miami basketball, yep, we're going to have a new team. We'll try to see if Coach Elkin can put all the parts together. A different team than he's probably ever had before. No freshmen on this team because of the FBI investigation, which may or may not be lingering. And so no freshmen. Got a transfer coming in here in Zach Johnson from Florida Gulf Coast. I'll be very excited to see him. He can be a high-octane scorer. Some might remember last year in the A-Sun tournament against Lipscomb, he scored 37 points. He went for, I think it was 27 against Oklahoma State when they played in the NIT. So I think they're going to be a better scoring team this year if all of the parts come together.
See, you know, Joe did something there. I both love it and I hate it. I'm so excited to find out in about 5 minutes what this breaking news, and I don't know if it's good or bad, right? But I'm anticipating it. So on that end, fantastic. Everyone needs to be listening when the Canes Hoops broadcast starts to find out what is going on. But on the other hand, Joe, I'm not a very patient guy. Like, I was that kid growing up. I always tried to sneak into my parents' closet and find my Christmas gifts like 3 weeks before Christmas. I'm not very good at seeing things out. So you've definitely raised my anticipation level. I'm curious.
Welcome to the life of the play-by-play guy.
No question about that. Hey, and Joe, this is going to be a busy weekend for you, as of course you'll be in Atlanta calling Miami at Georgia Tech tomorrow. I'm curious your thoughts to what we'll see tomorrow. I know that fans are bummed out about the way the coastal picture looks right now, but people have to remember, you're still playing for bowl eligibility. Tomorrow's a very important game for this team.
Well, one of the ways I look at it, and it's been a frustrating season, everybody knows that, everybody's aggravated because there were high expectations. But, Alex, I ask you, why were there high expectations for this season? There were high expectations because they won last year.
Yeah.
That's why the expectations were high, because last year they got up to number two in the nation. And so they took a step back this year. I don't think we expected that, but the expectations were high because they made the Orange Bowl game. And so tomorrow I'm not really 100% sure what to expect. I think you're going to get a good effort from the defense. But their problem right now, the University of Miami's problem, is more than the quarterback. It is more than all the topics that are out there. They're not playing complementary football, so they're springing leaks everywhere. And they're really basically playing football the way a losing team plays. You might get it's like in baseball. You get good hitting and no pitching. Well, they might get a nice drive offensively, but it sputters out.
Right.
Or the defense lately has been giving up big plays, a 75-yard touchdown run to Duke. So what you have is poor special teams, sporadic offense, and too many big plays allowed by the defense.
Joe Zigacki will, of course, be on the call tonight. Miami Hurricanes hosting Lehigh, season debut for Jim Larrañaga's Canes in college basketball tomorrow. Joe Z calling the action in Atlanta, Miami Hurricanes at Georgia Tech. Joe, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again in a few minutes when the broadcast begins.
Okay, Alex, thank you. Looking forward to it.
Awesome stuff there from Joe Z at the Watsco Center. He gave me a little taste there of something's going on. Poker Face was great, too, because when he teased breaking news, I couldn't tell if this is horrific news, amazing news, terrible news. Manny Chang and I will find out together, along with the rest of you, in about 2.5 minutes here. So, you know, and it's interesting because no matter how ugly things have been for Canes football lately, I still care, and I hope you guys care. Because one thing that made me a little bummed out was I was posting something on the WQAM Facebook page yesterday. It was kind of a pregame piece that I wrote, and it had to do with this was before Nakosi Perry was announced as a starter, so it had to do with the quarterback dilemma, the quarterback competition, and the comments that I saw here on this story. Who cares? This team is pure crap. I don't even care anymore. Nobody cares. What a dumpster fire. Who really cares? It's like, and I know that the people who write that, they don't represent the majority of my audience, and I know that they don't represent the majority of my fan base, but if you're a Miami Hurricanes fan, I hope you're not being sincere when you utter those words, because even if you feel like this season is lost and this season, like Joe said, didn't meet your expectations, you should still care about that quarterback position, because that has a lot to do with the future of this team. Obviously, Malik Rozier, who's out of eligibility after this year, we know he's not the future of this team, but Nakosi Perry might be. And at some point, we might see Jaren Williams play again this year. He very well could be the future of this football team. I hope that apathy was just people wanting to say something provocative on the internet, and it's not the way that you really feel. Because if you're a fan of that team, I don't see how you can say stuff like that, even after the tough run of three games that they've had, because you still should care about something. Canes basketball is coming up. Joe Zigacki will have the call. Our pregame is coming your way next here on WQAM. Wow, this is weird. So, I don't think I've ever had this where I do two separate half-hour-long shows in a single night. I don't know what to talk about. I basically had a half-hour show interrupted by three-hour college basketball broadcast, and then here we are. I think if you're listening to this on podcast, Manny Chang's just going to, like, fuse them together. You're not even going to get the three-hour-long college basketball game where Miami does beat Lehigh. Awesome start for the Canes. He's just going to turn the beginning of my show, and then 3 hours later, the end of my show in a one episode. So if you're listening on podcast, congratulations. You've just hit some kind of a lottery, right? So Man, here we are. If you'd like to get in on your Friday night, is by the way, the Miami Heat are leading the Indiana Pacers 59-56. Early third quarter. So a lot of time left. You can't lose in those Vice jerseys. Like you can't. Jerseys look fantastic. I was kind of surprised and impressed just to see the photos and the videos. How many people showed up to the merchandise sale midnight last night at the American Airlines Arena? God bless you. God bless all of you who went in you millennials who had nothing better to do because you're probably out of work living with your parents. You had nothing better to do at midnight than show up in downtown Miami, wait in line for God knows how long to buy that really fresh gear. I mean, it looks great. I don't think that at this point in my life, I've got the body to wear that jersey in public. But a t-shirt, a hat, might be kind of nice, right? Oh, Manny Chang over there is jonesing for some of that Vice gear. Absolutely jonesing for that. So if you'd like to get in, 560-22 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Or get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560. Or 954-567-0560. I'm going to pull up the text line because I closed it. If you're out there, if you're listening, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Texter writes in, I'm here for it. How do you feel about ricotta cheese? Oh, so he is here for the show. You know what? Ricotta cheese or ricotta, as they call it in my father's country. Very controversial. I'm not a fan of it. Here's where you stand on ricotta. It's very much a line drawn in the sand between northern Italy and southern Italy. Northern Italians, that cheese is not a big part of your diet. In fact, if you eat lasagna in the north of Italy, it's not made with ricotta cheese. It's made with this white sauce called bechamel sauce, which I think is far superior to ricotta cheese. But a lot of Americans associate ricotta cheese as a staple ingredient in lasagna. It depends on where you are in Italy. I'm not that big of a fan of it. I think the taste is just it's a little bit too, I don't know, it's like neutral to sweet. I prefer like a saltier, richer flavor of cheese. And that's just not my thing. And you know, I think that maybe when he texted that in, he thought that Tito Benach might be here, who has these wacky, strong opinions on food. But a little known fact, you may not have known this, that you know, if you associate ricotta cheese as a must-have ingredient in lasagna, actually you have to be in certain parts of Italy for them to make lasagna with ricotta cheese.
So what's the main cheese ingredient for lasagna in Italy?
Well, like on you know, like the crusty part on the outside is probably mostly like fontina cheese, maybe some mozzarella. But like the inside, like creamy part, they use this this like white sauce called bechamel.
Oh, that's what you just mentioned.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I think maybe you have to be like in the very deep backwoods southern part of Italy to get it with ricotta cheese. If like you're anywhere like north of like the heel of the boot and like the toe of the boot, you're probably getting it with bechamel.
Now you need to clear something up for me.
Yeah.
So I first thought Tito, when it came to a pizza, he cared about the toppings. But mm-hmm. now all of a sudden he's judging it by the crust. Is that because Alex Solana convinced him of that?
Yeah, you know, Alex Solana had this statement a couple months back where he said it for the entire world to hear it. In his mind, the crust is the most important part of a pizza. I think he's a little bit misunderstood. I would consider...
Because you don't bite the crust on first bite.
No, but the thing for me is, like, I consider the crust to be, like, the entire bready part. Like, that's the underneath part included, right? Because it's all the same thing, right? Like, the bready part underneath and the crust on the outside, it's all the same. It's one piece before you put the toppings on there. I think I'm with him. I think that the crust, the bread part of the pizza, if it's not good, it can ruin the entire pizza. That to have a good pizza, you have to have a solid crust game. Wow, Texter points this out. Dono, Manny Chang is a cane traitor. Why are you so nice to him? Well, first of all, I'm kind of nice to everybody. But second of all, have you ever heard, I don't know who coined this phrase. It might have been, I don't know if this phrase was coined in The Godfather Part 2 or if they borrowed it like from the lexicon. But have you ever heard this? Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Manny Chang, you're not even sure if you're my friend or my enemy at this point.
All I know is that when Luca's old enough to watch football, we'll be watching games together.
Oh, for sure. You know, you and I were talking about splitting some season tickets for Inter Miami. We should get a ticket for my kid, too. Let's do it.
Pretty sure Beckham will bring some Italians over.
Yeah, I mean, so they're going to start in 2020. My kid's going to be almost two. That's old enough to go to a game, right?
Not yet.
I don't know. I see people, I think it's kind of obnoxious, but, and you've got a kid, Manny, but your daughter is what, like six at this point?
She's six now, but I do agree with you. Bringing not a newborn, but a 1 or 2 year old to a hockey game, that can be a little bit too extreme.
You see that a lot, right? Like, because you and I, we go to basically every home Panthers game. And they always, you know, the Panthers, they put fans on the Jumbotron. And, you know, they go out of their way. If they see little kids at the games, they'll put them on the Jumbotron. Like, you see people with, like, their four-month-old kid where they got the air traffic controller headphones on to block out the sound. I mean, honestly, if you bring your, like, four-month-old, six-month-old, seven-month-old kid to a game, it's obnoxious. You just want people to see you. Oh, this is my kid is so cute. Conversation starter. I want to be able to tweet this out and tell everyone, oh, this is the youngest fan of this team. I've got an eight-month-old. Never been to a game in his life. First of all, if I take my eight-month-old to a game tomorrow, he's not going to remember it. I'm doing that just for me. Second of all, I don't want to do that for me, right? Like, I love my eight-month-old son, Luca, to death, but it's a pain in the butt to take him places, right? Pain in the butt. Like, every you know, he needs a nap basically every 3 hours. You know, he whines and complains when he's hungry or uncomfortable. I feel like if I take him to a Canes game or a Panthers game, Heat game, whatever, that's just going to ruin the experience for me. So at the end of the day, why am I doing it? Am I just doing it so I can tweet out a picture and everyone talk about how cute he is? I mean, I do that when I'm at home chilling with him, but I'm not going to take him to a game just to create a memory for me. I want to take him to games when he's old enough to have memories for him, right? Because we all probably remember when we first started going to games. Do you remember the first game that you ever went to, Manny? Because I'm a little bit unclear on it personally. I think it was...
Well, first of all, what sport are we talking?
Any sport, right? You're a young kid, you went to a game.
One that I really remembered?
I don't remember who the opponent was. I know that... I want to say the 1989 Hurricanes football season. I remember it was a blowout. Maybe if I looked up the schedule, I could remember who it was against. I'm like 4.5 years old, right? Like that, I think that was probably the first game I ever went to in my life. 4.5 years old, like not 4.5 months old. But I can't remember for sure who the opponent was, because I guess I was too young to really kind of put two and two together. I do remember the first Miami Heat game I actually went to was a preseason game. I was eight. But then I felt really done dirty when I figured out preseason doesn't really matter, right? Because when I went to this game, like none of the starters were playing. It was like 1992, the Heat taking on the Atlanta Hawks, I believe. And then I realized I'm here, like none of the starters are even playing. What's going on?
I want to say my first Dolphin game was when Dan Marino was still playing. It was Dolphins-Jets. Bill Parcells was still the coach.
Nice.
Yeah, and we were on the top edge of Joe Robbie Stadium at the time. And my friend, he kept banging on the section number. Let's go, Danny boy! And I still remember that. And my first Heat game probably has to be game two against the Knicks, where Larry Johnson destroyed us.
Oh, wow.
That was a long time ago. By the way, I saw a lot of fights that night.
I'm sure you did.
Between Knicks fans and Heat fans fighting each other up and down the escalators.
I think to this day, the games where I tend to see the most fights are Miami, Florida State at Hard Rock Stadium. There are always fights for those games. I think a couple of times I've been to Dolphins versus Eagles games at Hard Rock Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Eagles fans are aggressive.
When Michael Vick started the last game that I think it was J.P. Lossman was the quarterback. There were plenty of fights there because the Dolphin fans left early in the fourth, and that kind of verged the Eagle fans to talk that trash.
Eagles fans are aggressive. Like, I can remember going to a game as a member of the media. So I had a credential. Like, I'm not wearing Dolphins gear. I'm just dressed in neutral colors. I'm wearing, like, a polo and jeans, right? I'm there covering a Dolphins-Eagles game as a member of the media. I'm walking to like a restaurant. I'm walking to a restroom somewhere in the concourse. 70-year-old woman, Eagles fan, starts cursing at me. Like, lady, like, you don't even know for sure that I'm a Dolphins fan. Like, why are you cursing at me? I'm wearing neutral colors. I've got a press pass on. Why are you yelling obscenities at me?
Because you're a Dolphin fan by heart.
Well, what just, did something just happen in Heat Pacers? You jumped up and down.
Listen,
you got crazy.
I don't know what's going on with Whiteside, but this man is playing on a mission, had another block, and Winslow misses the layup.
Oh, God. I thought Ira Winterman outlined it. Like, we spoke to Ira before this game. He predicted this could be another solid performance from Hassan Whiteside because, again, similar to San Antonio, the Indiana Pacers are not a team that runs the length of the floor, more of a half-court team, and that fits into Hassan Whiteside type of games.
By the way, Alex, the court looks beautiful on TV.
Oh, it looks great. And man, Goran Dragic looking spiffy in that blue and black suit.
I'm tempted to buy something. I just don't know what.
How much are you willing to spend? Like, if you can put a cap on it. I'll ask the listeners that as well,
right? $50.
So that's your cap.
Yeah, I can't go over 100, man. I'm trying to buy a house.
Oh, you are?
Yes, sir.
Good for you, man.
Well, at least I'm trying.
Well, that's true. You may not get approved.
No, because we're mostly Kane fans down here, so no.
Yeah, you betrayed us. I caught it on video yesterday.
By the way, That was really bad by you, my friend. I trusted you.
We normally do
Panther game videos before the puck drops, and you got me there. Thank goodness for Adeline that walked in right behind us and kind of caught the video in its, you know, it's, you know, in its short moment.
I do want to give you a couple of thoughts and predictions on Miami versus Georgia Tech. We'll have one more quick segment. I'm on the air till 10. The Alex Dono Show continues here on QAM, where Miami can still win the Coastal. You can still win the Coastal. And I retweeted that. People got so mad. Don't talk about winning the Coastal. We suck. We're terrible. Don't talk about it.
You want to relive Clemson again like last year? Be my guest.
I think I'd rather that than go to like the lawnmower bowl or whatever.
Or the Texas El Paso.
God.
So remember those bowl games?
So here's how you win the Coastal. You have to win out. That's only part of it. Like, you don't control your own destiny. Winning out is not good enough. So you have to win out. Then Virginia, whom Miami lost to after their victory against Florida State, they are 4-2 in conference play with two ACC games left on their schedule. So ironically, the games follow the same pattern as Miami's as they travel to Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech in consecutive weeks. In order for Miami to top them, Virginia has to lose both of those contests. So there's still hope. Your future lies not only on you. You've got to win out. You need Virginia to lose out. So the Hurricanes still have a chance to win the Coastal. I'm just thinking about Georgia Tech tomorrow, though. Field position will be huge, which means Miami's punting game and lack thereof concerns me. You got to make the most of your offensive possessions because you may only get like four per half, right? Georgia Tech eats a lot of time out of the clock, just running play after pitch after toss, run after run after run. They take a lot of time off the clock. Which also leads me to say that Miami's defense, I think they could be up to this task. They have to force turnovers. They have to force turnovers because it not only takes the offensive momentum away from Georgia Tech, you steal possessions by forcing turnovers. And I want to wish Nikosi Perry some good luck, and I hope he's getting a good night of sleep tonight because we will need him and the offensive line, of course, to be on their game tomorrow. I will talk to you guys tomorrow. 3 p.m., me and Larry Bluestein from Milan's Market for Hurricanes Countdown to Kickoff. Thanks to Manny Chang. Thanks to Ira Winterman. Thanks to all of you. This has been the Alex Dono Show here on WQAM.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.